Ebro Law Rosenberg, we bugging. 800-223-9797. You want to get at these shenanigans? For Lord Never Loses, and we got a pair of tickets to Summer Jam. Summer Jam! A Boogie, Meek Mill, Migos, many more. It's going down August 22nd. MetLife Stadium, we want you in the building to party with us. It's the post-pandemic Summer Jammy, Back Outside Edition. That's a long title. Swizz Beatz presents the DMX New York City tribute, Route Rebel Bobby Shmurda. It's all going down, man. Make sure y'all in the building. Call right now if you want to get at this. Laura Never Loses. Do it and do it now. Ebro Law Rosenberg, we here. Good morning, fams. Shout out to all the people locked in wherever you at. Vibes right there, Doja Cat, man. So the weather today, Laura Stiles, let's get into it, man. I heard it's going to, like, potential flooding is going to take place. High of 88, but the real feel is supposed to touch 90s. Y'all know about these floods?
No, tell me, because on my app, I don't see any signs of rain.
It says potential. The potential for. I don't know if it's going to. But the last few days, what's that meant?
Yeah, we don't know.
That's meant nothing.
Just clouds, nothing. Rain clouds and mistiness and humidity.
But if we get out of it today with no rain, then tomorrow's extra nice, Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
Warm, no chance of rain those next few days. Saturday is looking okay. Sunday's looking the worst right now in the morning. So look, man, it is what it is. We here, we together. Laura, how's mommy them? What's happening?
Good, everything is good. Kenza's teething.
She got a full tooth?
Not yet. But she's just like putting everything in her mouth and just going ham and drool everywhere.
Yeah, man.
And she now crawls up to me and stands up.
Nice. We're on the way. That's about to happen.
She pulls herself up. And she just like kind of sits there, looks at me like with an accomplished look.
Like, I did that, right, mom?
Yeah.
Like, right, mom? You see what I could do? You see what I could do?
And then she's like, okay, now what? You know?
The weather now, up here is different.
Yeah. Now it's time for you to fall a few times.
Oh, and she
get this walking thing together.
My little human. She's great, man.
That's
she's
dope. Great. Young baby light in the building. Yo, Karen, what's going on? Oh, we lost somebody. Yeah, Griff. Karen, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are y'all? Good morning, everyone.
Peace. I lost. What was his name? Robert, I think his name was.
I don't know.
Oh, Bob.
Neil, what happened, my G? Gone.
We got Karen, though.
We got Karen. Karen, where you headed this morning? What are you doing?
Well, I'm off of the first job, and then I go this afternoon to the second.
Oh, what's the first job?
I work at a McDonald's as a cashier.
There you go.
The second is a manager at Burger King.
Yo, did you hear the word that McDonald's stepping their payment game up? Did you guys hear about this? And they're going to be offering...
No.
They're supposed to be offering employees support with daycare and a bunch of other stuff,
really?
And going to school because they want to attract more workers. So, Karen, keep the pressure on them.
Yeah, make sure you understand everything that's going on in your company. You need to take advantage of it.
Facts.
Yeah, definitely.
The only story I saw about fast food yesterday was Popeye's introducing nuggets.
Oh, they coming at y'all, Karen. Karen, tell your people it's beef in the streets.
Well, chicken.
That's what I'm saying. They come with chicken nuggets.
Chicken beef.
I got it. Chicken beef. That's the best you could do this morning?
Well, you said there's beef in the streets, and I said, no, there's chicken.
O'Neal, what's going on, sir?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, we blessed, man. Where you headed right now, man? What's going on with you?
I'm out here working, the Ranchy Renters, delivering equipment.
There it is. What type of equipment?
All type of excavation equipment.
There it is.
Rental equipment. We rent them out, and I'll drive a tractor trailer for the Ranchy Renters.
There it is. Get it.
New York City area.
Get it going, O'Neal. We playing for Summer Jam, so Karen gets to pick who you want to represent you in the game that lives up to its name, Laura Never Loses.
Miss Laura.
Here we go. Shiny with the question. Six seconds on the clock. Let's play Laura Never Loses.
All right, here we go.
Okay, which rapper was detained?
Ebro. I'm going to go with Lil Baby.
That is correct. In Paris, they're having too much weed. In baseball, the pitcher and catcher are collectively known by which term?
Ooh.
Three, two, One.
All I can think of is defense. I don't know what you would say. Otherwise.
Yeah, correct. What is it?
Nobody
is
knows. No. The battery. Battery. Okay. Which right. athlete
no
wrote
one
a
says that, but it's a thing, I guess.
Which athlete wrote a Time cover story
Ebro.
About... Ebro.
Naomi Osaka.
About mental health. That is correct. What is the only bird that can fly backwards?
Ebro.
Ooh.
Laura.
A hummingbird.
Yeah, that is knew that correct. One. Knew that one.
Which artist will be on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Ebro. I say Ebro.
Ebro?
The cover of Sports Illustrated artist. I know the answer to this.
3, 2.
We were just talking about
one.
It the other day.
Megan Thee Stallion.
Yes. Megan Thee Stallion is correct.
It's going to come down to this.
Tie game.
Damn it. Yeah. I knew that one. Could have got out of here. Go. Could have got my old man O'Neal some tickets.
Right.
Okay.
How many sides?
Oh my gosh. I hate this.
Does a trapezoid
Ebro.
Have?
Trapezoid.
Ebro.
9.
Incorrect.
It's very incorrect. I'm impressed with how incorrect it is.
Yeah, I was surprised.
What the hell's a trapezoid?
You don't know what a trapezoid is?
You don't know what a trapezoid is? I thought it was like it's three-dimensional.
Is it 8?
That is incorrect.
I don't know what a trapezoid is.
Am I stupid for thinking it's 4?
It is 4.
It's 4, yeah.
It's a square.
It's a square.
It's a
square.
It's a shifted square.
It's a shifted square.
Why did I think it was three-dimensional? I'm bugging.
Man, I didn't know trapezoid.
Hit me with the button.
It looks wacky. It's a wacky shape.
I
forgot about trapezoids.
I did too.
What religious item did the first vending machine dispense?
Ebro.
Religious item.
Ebro.
It's either a cross or a Bible.
3.
I'm going to go with
2.
A Bible.
Incorrect.
No, not. It's not going to spit out Bibles. It's like holy water.
Holy water's correct.
Ah, Lord wow.
It's not going to spit out Bibles.
I thought maybe it had like the little minis.
Yeah, the little minis. They're like tiny ones. I thought that sounded real. Holy water's insane when you think about it.
No, but I've been to places where they have, where you
I've
just
never
kinda,
seen
like,
that.
Pull something or press something and there's holy water. Like,
never
holy
seen that.
Holy water. I always thought it was suspect. I'm like, really? This is holy water? But whatever.
Really?
In a vending machine?
Okay. Wait, which holy water is not suspect? That's right. Let me ask that.
Right, which holy water is?
That's like the wine they give you at communion. That's grape juice, and they're like, it's the blood of Jesus. You're like, man, really? It's welches.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Symbolic, but I get it. Yo, Karen.
Karen,
you're going to summit. Yeah. You got tickets. O'Neal, we love you, bro. I could have got that one, man. Damn.
I know you could have.
Trapezoid, man. Damn, man. We love you, O'Neal. But Karen, hang on. You going to summer jam?
Yes, thank you.
Hang on. We got to get some info. You going to see A Boogie. You going to see Meek Mill, Migos, Rosenberg's Real Late Live,
ooh,
Megan
nice.
Wright and Friends, Saweetie. Swizz Beatz presenting a New York City tribute to DMX. Mm. What else we got going on? Oh, CJ, El Alfa, and Farruko brought to you by the Heavy Hitters.
Nice.
There's a lot of things on that damn stage. Roddy Rebel, Bobby Shmurda.
Mm.
Situation happening.
It goes on and on and on.
You want to premiere it right now or you want to hold it? Silk Sonic.
No.
Ghostface, we got to hold it.
I listen. Shawnee doesn't even know what we have in the stash.
I don't even know.
He ain't heard it yet. Shawnee. I told the people we would play it this morning on Twitter. I didn't say a time though. So we should wait. But we're going to play it multiple times.
Yeah, I think after 7 though, right? Right after Flash? What about after Flash?
All right, 7 a.m. We have something that I don't think anybody else has.
No, I know for a fact that no one else has it. I asked. Ghostface called me yesterday. He was like, yo, son. I'm in the lab. I need you to hear something. I was like, wait, what is it? He said, redid the Bruno Mars joint.
He was like, that makes so much sense.
Yo, it was so funny. Literally what he said, I was like, oh my God, this is meant for our show. This is our show. Your favorite song. Everyone's favorite rapper. Perfect.
Yo, and hopefully he jumped on it the way Ghostface has been jumping on slow jams for years.
Yeah.
With no instrumental. I haven't listened to it yet.
With no beat.
You'll see.
No, he's just rhyming over the vocals.
You'll hear. It's something.
Y'all keep it locked. It's coming up. Also, Flashing Lights. Laura Stiles, what you working on?
Guys, the Emmy nominations are in. So I'll let you know. People were doubting some of these shows, and they came out strong. So we'll discuss it coming up. Flashing Lights.
Ebro Laura Rosenberg at you, with you. Let's see. There's a shooting in Times Square. Like midnight last night, but nobody got hit. They're looking for a white BMW, I heard. See, there was like three other shootings throughout the city.
Just yesterday?
Yeah, just last night. Three or four. Some dudes on some motorcycles pulled up on a car. I think this was in the Bronx. Yeah, it was like right by the GWB. Pulled up on a car, shot the driver. Driver's in stable condition.
Oh, man.
But, you know, clearly it was like a hit.
Wow. This was where?
This was right here by the GWB on the Manhattan side or the Bronx side.
Right. Damn.
That's what they saying.
You know, look, summertime New York.
But that's not what they want to hear, Shani.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that gun violence and violence in the city is up. It's out of control.
That's what they want to hear.
It's reaching 90s levels again. It's on the way.
But they say that every summer.
I know, Shani. But we gotta, you know.
But nobody passed away in this one?
Not from what I heard, no.
Okay, good. I hope not.
Not from what I heard, no. But you know what? That doesn't mean anything. I could be wrong. But the point is, the gun violence in the city is out of control. Yeah, and everybody agrees with that.
Yeah.
It's definitely higher than last year.
Of course
it's higher than last year.
Although last year, everybody was inside.
Yeah, but I mean, you could have argued that last year was going to be nuts just because people were so frustrated with being inside and there was so much going on.
But it was craziness outside. I remember all the fireworks and then the people protests. Shooting. There was protests and shootings. And
it was the people it was crazy. The police last year.
Yeah. But anyway, Eric Adams was meeting with Biden yesterday. He says he wants to take a holistic approach to dealing with this gun violence thing. But he also threw in that he wants to bring back a plainclothes unit that goes into specific parts of New York that are the most violent.
Oh, those specific parts.
Right.
You know.
The jump out boys.
Yeah, they want to bring the plainclothes back. But see, I'm going to tell y'all what happens with this. They always bring something back and say that it's designed for a specific area. But then they don't get rid of it after they fix the specific areas. Then they go and send it into other areas. So then you're just back where you started from.
That's
just the entry point to get back to it. Because you know they love them plain clothes.
Yeah.
They love that.
See. I mean, the issue really is the accountability. So if you're going to have more strict police and all of that, but we start pointing out the ones that are doing bad, then hold these police officers accountable. Because the problem is that they feel like their badge gives them the authority to be bullies in the street.
So Shani makes a great point. As they ramp things back up to deal with you bozos out here causing all the violence and you gang members causing all the violence.
Right.
Those of us that are concerned about accountability need to say, hey, we want the gun violence to slow down too.
Right.
Where are your systems of accountability and who's going to be enforcing it and how?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because they will try to bring something back. Listen, Eric Adams, as much as we cool with him, he's definitely pro bringing back things for the police. Everybody knew that when they voted for him.
Right.
Now, he wants to do things differently. There's things with the police that he don't agree with, but people going to have to be vocal.
Facts. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be nice.
And if it gets crazy, Shani, you know everybody in this room looking at you because Eric Adams, your man's in them. That's your man's in them.
Yeah, I mean, you
Shani,
know.
Shani, listen, I don't want you late to work and you telling me, Laura, I got stopped and frisked. And I'd be like, Shani? Right?
Yo, Shani, that's your man.
Call your man.
I'd be like, Shani?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, he's going to catch a lot of smoke out here. He's a black man and he's not going to do everything right. You know, he's been on the ground for a long time, but I hope he does hold police officers accountable if he's going to, you know, attack the hood and try
Listen,
to get the
black,
violence
down. Black or not black, when you got the police out here doing craziness and not being held accountable, you're going to catch smoke.
Oh, that's a fact.
So
but
let's
the
not
black add a little tinge. To
yeah, I can see Shawnee could
black
get,
mayor.
He could get extra. He's gonna get extra.
Yeah, he'll catch
from black people and white people.
Yeah, because the expectations are you got this under control and you know what it feels like. So why you got this? Why right. you not got this in check? Why you right. don't have this in check?
Right. He'll never do enough for the people, and he'll never do enough
well,
for
no,
the police.
Well, no, listen. The job of mayor of New York City, you're going to piss people off everywhere.
Facts.
Trying to get this thing back on the rails and keep it going straight.
But here's the thing. He will be able to, he has the possibility to succeed at reaching those two groups that Shawnee just mentioned, black people and the police.
Mm-hmm.
He has the possibility to reach more both. Because unlike de Blasio, he is black and he is a cop.
That's right.
But he also could upset both sides more because of that as well.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, guys.
Well, he's not mayor yet. He's got to beat the Red Beret guy.
Did the Red Beret guy meet with Biden?
Nah, he no. wasn't. He didn't get the invite. Is he still wearing the Red Beret?
Yes.
That's the brand, okay. baby.
That's the brand.
All right.
Let's go flashing lights, Laura Staff.
Lauren Styles got the 411 on the flash lights, lights.
Now you're
lights.
Ready for the flashing lights. And Lauren Styles gonna put us on.
So yesterday, I thought this was really cool, guys. Emmy-winning father-daughter duo. Ron Cephas Jones and Jasmine Cephas Jones were the ones who unveiled the nominations.
Ooh.
So Ron Cephas Jones is the dad, Randall's dad on This Is Us.
Oh, that's who that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
The dad on This Is Us.
And his daughter was in Hamilton.
Hamilton. And so many others.
What's the movie, man? About the Bay Area and gentrification. She was...
She's done a bunch of stuff. She's also Anthony
Ramos' girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
Okay, got it. And she's from Hamilton.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the dad is Randall's birth dad.
Yes. And wow. This Is Us. And they're both Emmy... they're both Emmy winners.
Wow.
It's just dope, right? To be with your pops.
A lot of talented families out here.
And we're doing the nominations. It's so dope to see.
Yo, Jasmine is super talented.
And so is her father.
Yeah, her dad's dope in that show.
Yeah, man. So The Crown and The Mandalorian both are leading the way with 24 nominations each.
Yo,
WandaVision.
I'm way behind on The Mandalorian. I need to go back in.
Have you guys seen Ted Lasso?
That's yeah, Rosenberg's show. He loves that show.
I thought you watched
I never got into it. I said I was and never did it.
Everyone loves Ted Lasso, guys.
Yeah, man.
It's this lovable, just a lovable, feel good. That Jason Sudeikis character, it's hard to describe. He's just a lovable, great character. You just enjoy it.
And it's Sudeikis.
And not only that, and then the soccer team, it's a soccer team in Europe. So it's got the African players on it. It's got like it's just a dope show, man. It's great.
And Handmaid's Tale is coming in strong also. And just a week after not being renewed for a second season by HBO, Lovecraft Country received 18 nominations.
Mm.
So now I was reading on why Lovecraft Country didn't get renewed. There was rumors that it was always supposed to be a limited series, but the creator said in an interview before the season ended, she was articulating her plans to like continue the storyline.
Okay.
HBO just said it that they didn't renew it, but I can't find any detail was it too expensive for HBO to make?
Maybe for the amount of viewers it was getting, it was too expensive for them to make.
Yeah, and I was gonna say were the viewers not high enough to justify the spend? You know, et cetera, et cetera. But I can't see HBO. Having this much critical acclaim on a show and this many nominations and then not wanting to continue it.
Well, but
unless there was some sort of political inner workings that it just didn't work out with the creator, the team, et cetera, et cetera.
My assumption, and I'm doing nothing but assuming, is when you hear the way people describe Lovecraft Country and how difficult an elevator pitch it is to describe.
I know.
I think most people didn't watch it. I think people talked about it and think about it. You try to describe it, and you're like,
it's complicated.
It's and yet, super complicated.
And it talks directly to you.
Yeah, but the sci-fi part of it, there's other aspects of the, what's the writer, H.B. Lovecraft or whatever those stories. It's sci-fi horror stuff that is just not my area of expertise.
Right, but it kept you because it had the black historical stuff, too.
Well, yes. and it's also a black storyline that I've never seen before, this horror sci-fi thing. You know, I just never seen it.
It's a lot. Sound like a lot.
But, and,
you never watched
so
it, Johnny?
Yo, watch the SNL skit about the describing.
We literally would come in here, and I would say, I'm so confused, yet I'm so entertained.
I remember.
But it was so good. It looked so good. I was like, wow, I never seen nothing like
that. Listen, I highly doubt it's a conspiracy. And people are like out there mad at HBO. I'm like, HBO is not the company that's not putting things on that are...
And endlessly.
Oh, they didn't want to. They didn't want to keep the show going because it was black and it was putting black people in a different light and allowing
but
us
then,
to
wait.
See ourselves differently than we ever seen ourselves.
But then,
before.
Why did they make it in the first place?
They didn't know what they was getting into.
Shut up.
They didn't know how real it was.
Well, the Emmy Awards will air Sunday, September 19th at 8 p.m., hosted by Cedric the Entertainer. So that should be fun.
Okay. All right, Uncle Sed.
That's your Seddy flashing
Sed.
Lights report.
Back on the scene.
The time is 7:04, high of 88 degrees. Alternate side parking rules are in effect.
Laura, I can't believe Popeyes coming with chicken nuggets didn't make it to the flashing lights report.
Come on.
That's the biggest story popping.
Let me tell you, my man was like, babe, Popeyes is coming out with chicken nuggets. It's over. Like, what is serious face?
No, it might be something serious.
But I'm surprised they never had it.
Right? I was like,
they
I thought
never
that was
had chicken nuggets
menu.
Or tenders or something
Yo,
like that.
Yo, I'm
going
to tell you something.
Tenders,
tell you something.
Yes. Nuggets, no.
I'm going to tell y'all something.
Ooh, wow.
Ever since Popeyes and that chicken sandwich situation through the pandemic, have you noticed the amount of McDonald's talking about their chicken and Burger King talking about their chicken? Like, and even
no, they
and,
changed the game.
Well, and they put your peoples. What's your peoples? What's the other spot everybody like? Chick-fil-A. They put Chick-fil-A on notice. Mm. Popeyes did. Then now that they see everybody on the ropes, then they come with the chicken nuggets like, bah!
There you come. Boom.
Popeyes winning.
They came with the big joker.
Is it going to be a line and like a crazy like
movement?
Like
your chicken sandwich?
They're going to try to hype it. They're going to try to hype it and act like they ran out of chicken nuggets. Meanwhile, all the chicken nugget is chopped up chicken in a fryer. Y'all got all them chickens back there? You can't chop me up another chicken and fry it up real quick and give me some chicken nuggets?
No. The seasoning and the sauce. A little pepper sauce on it.
WQHDFM HD1 New York, 97 minutes commercial free.
Yeah.
Commercial free coming up at 7 with Ebro in the morning. Hot 97.
Gotta stop. I guess for context, I gotta put it out there. We gotta do it like I've done it before. I feel like the last few years, people kinda, young artists began to understand, you know. Summer Jam is not your regular degular. And no disrespect to the new artist showcases and even our Who's Next at SOBs that we've been doing for 15 years.
It's not that.
Summer Jam ain't that. So my man Fatboy over in Jersey hit me in the DMs on IG yesterday talking about we need more New Jersey artists on Summer Jam.
Okay.
I was like, well, who's not on that's out here with a hit record that's moving around on the radio that could also sell some concert tickets? Nah, but it's a lot of hits out here. You just got to give them a chance. Summer Jam ain't to give a chance.
Right.
That's not what we doing. Summer Jam ain't where you come and try.
Give it a shot. See if the people
like
it.
Let me see if this works.
Right.
Now, I never really been on stage before. I ain't got no songs anybody know, but I'm going to get on up here. You know what you're going to end up with if you get if that happens to you.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
You
got to
take your time,
playing yourself. Get it right.
You got to get it right. Get the hits under your belt, you know. There's a lot of artists from all over the city that have built a following enough to be on Summer Jam.
Mm-hmm.
They put in time, but you just want to cut the line.
Right.
You just, where's the T-Pain audio?
Let
T-Pain speak to the young artist
is
real
this,
quick.
Is today the day for the young artist to catch the whole congratulations?
No, not the whole. You know, I spent so many years reminding artists that they wasn't ready. I became the bad guy. And I'm glad that T-Pain is now older.
And
artists are getting older to understand that, yo, when you put in time and work and you have real hits, you're different than the kid that just rolled out of their bedroom with an internet song.
Yeah. Right,
like, there's levels to the game.
Well, and furthermore, if you're going to be someone who puts out that internet song, can that internet song be different? Like, say what you want about Lil Nas X. He came different, though. Right. Lil Nas X came with something different. It hadn't been done.
Stop! Just f***ing do something else! Just damn it! Do some different music! We have all this that you're doing. We already have it. Lil Uzi Vert is already doing it. Lil Baby is already doing it. Dub Baby is already doing it. It's literally two n****s with Baby in their names that's already doing all the music you want. Do something else. Do something else. That's it. That's all we want. Do something else. Holy crazy. Stop sending me this bullshit and then get mad when I don't like it. Jesus damn tap dancing Christ. Do something else.
Yo, Jesus tap dancing Christ.
I never
congratulations. You played yourself.
Yo, if you're saying, yo, listen, T-Pain's being honest. He probably gets a lot of music. Now he's hosting his things on IG. I got used to it. I got jaded. And I just understand that artists, they create oftentimes, too often, people create music and they're like, okay, that's what's popular. I'm just going to make that because then maybe that'll be the fast track for me to get some attention.
Well, right? And let's also be fair and throw it on the flip side. DJs are lazy too. And rather than them trying to break new things, they look for what already sounds like the other hits too.
And radio stations play things that all sound alike because then you forget that the radio's even on. And so the song just keeps playing. You're like, yo, this song, wait.
Song am I even hearing?
Yo, what's happening? This song, it all sounds I done lost same. Track of the songs. They all sound the same.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
And there's a documentary, I think, on Netflix called This Is Pop. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that? And T-Pain, I think, is the first episode.
Yep.
And it says how much work he actually put into trying to sound different. Like, that he auto-tune was really his move.
Well, and that's why people forget when Jay-Z did Death of Auto-Tune at Summer Jam. T-Pain walked out and stood next to Jay-Z.
Right.
Because T-Pain didn't want everybody doing auto-tune.
Right.
But also, I watched that This Is Pop. I was watching some of it, and the Usher story's in that.
In that same episode?
That's what it's from. That's where that story broke from, was that
T-Pain
said that Usher approached him on an airplane and said, you're ruining R&B. Years late, give our guy Usher the button for that. I mean, come on, fam. Please hit Usher with congratulations.
Congratulations.
Because he said what? Because
he said that T-Pain had ruined R&B. T-Pain's one of the actual people who's been innovative in R&B the last 15 years. 20 years.
Well, I think Usher was just specifically speaking to making it easier for people to sound good because they can use the cheat code of auto-tune.
Yeah, but T-Pain naturally sounds good. So using technology to make things cool when you're already incredibly talented.
But at the time, nobody knew that.
But how nice T-Pain was?
Yeah. Nah, that kind of came out. Nah, I think the general public.
We knew that because we used to have T-Pain on the radio and we would tell him to sing all the time.
But the concept of auto-tune was like you don't have to know how to sing, and he made it popular for people who can't sing to sing. So I didn't know that he could actually sing till after.
All due respect, Usher should know more than you.
Oh, of course.
He sings
for a
living.
Right. And real talk, you know who really did it? Lil Wayne.
That's a fair point.
Lil Wayne is the one that brought it into the zone of like auto-tune-y, rappy.
Actually, it was Kanye.
But didn't Kanye start after Lil Wayne?
I don't know.
808s? It's a combination. It's a combination. But Kanye was straight up singing. It's a little bit different. Kanye was out there singing.
Oh, he was rapping with auto-tune too, though. He was definitely auto-tune, yay.
Well, all of that to say.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
To all of us, because now we're here.
Right? Hey, do something different.
Laura, what's on your list?
I don't know, because I'm debating if I should give it to Doja Cat, but...
Absolutely, no. She gave it to herself.
I guess. I mean, look, Doja Cat was performing over the weekend at Club 11 in Miami.
Oh, that's the button right there. Why was Doja Cat in the club? She's too big to be in the club.
Congratulations.
You can find this all over social media. She's performing, jumping up and down, and she slips. You clearly see her slip. I mean, every woman who's worn heels before has felt this.
Ouch.
But the way she recovers is amazing. She just kind of makes it part of her routine and starts dancing and, you know.
Let's not pull any punches here. I mean, I know we can't say these things in 2021, but I'm not going to sit here and fabricate. Doja has some cushion. She's going to be okay. All right? She's going to bounce back
up. You saw that bounce.
She bounced right back.
She was fine.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
So all that big Willy talk, hop you up. Playing yourself. You're playing yourself. You're playing yourself.
Ebro in the morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
The American League wins again at the All-Star game last night. It's 8 in a row.
Is it? No one cares who wins the All-Star game.
I don't think so.
I just got to watch Shohei Ohtani, got to watch Aaron Judge. It was a fun little event. Neither of them did anything, but it was fun. I mean, last time I saw Aaron Judge, he was 0 for 2. I don't know if he did anything in his last at bat. But I'll tell you what, man. Stephen A, man, he's our guy. I'm not mad at him. I love the guy. He played himself this week. And he particularly played himself because the whole thing he said about Shohei Ohtani, is it good for baseball because he can't be as big because he speaks Japanese first and not English.
He said specifically because he needs an interpreter.
Yo, that man is such a star. Like, all you have to do is literally flip by the TV and you're like, who is that 6'5", smiling, happy, loving baseball Japanese man? Who is this man? And then you see him swing the bat and you go, oh my God, who? He doesn't need anything. The man never would have to say a word. And by the way, he did an interview last night through his interpreter, and you can feel his emotion as a person through his interpreter as well. But Stephen A. caught it. Just to be real.
Of course.
Even like Jeff Passan, who does baseball for ESPN, he went on First Take. Like, Stephen A. had people come on just to roast him.
What they were saying yesterday was ESPN forced Stephen A. to sit there and allow people to just take dumps on him for an hour. They forced him to take it.
Yeah, Cass sent us that picture during the day, and they had an Asian reporter or commenter on. Cass once sent us the picture of him while Stephen A. is sitting there listening. Cass once said, clean up on aisle 6.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
Here we go now.
You ready?
Oh, y'all ready? I mean, I tried to tell people we was going to have this morning. Rosenberg, how'd this come together?
Yesterday, Ghostface hit me up and said he was in the lab working on something. Actually, his man Sean Wiggs hit me first, and he's like, yo, Deanie's in the studio, needs to talk to you. So then he's like, yo, I got this Bruno Mars joint. What can y'all do with this? And I said, I got to be honest. This sounds like, a lot of times artists hit you with something like, I can't do anything. This sounds like something we could do something with.
Well, and it also makes so much sense because this is what Ghostface does, jumps on an R&B racket.
Yeah. So let's do this. This is Silk Sonic and Deanie.
Oh, with the phone call with in the beginning? Oh, man, you got to have a classic phone call.
Pick up, baby, come on.
Oh, with a... Just for the record, you know, you're probably hearing a lot about, like, the filibuster and voting rights and yada, and you're like, I don't know what they're talking about. The filibuster is basically, in the Senate, a stall tactic. So they just keep yapping and running their mouth for unlimited time and never have to actually vote on a bill or pass a bill. So it's like, yo, we need to do this vote. And people just get up and start talking to stall and not actually vote.
It's ridiculous.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yo, we need to vote on this civil rights legislation. And then somebody who doesn't want to vote for it will stand up and start babbling about whatever they want to babble about. Because there's a certain amount of time in the day or in a specific vote for them to cast a vote. So that's a stall tactic. Now, remember when Trump and all them was putting the Supreme Court justices in and putting all those, remember all that was happening? Well, when they were controlling the Senate, you guys know the name Mitch McConnell.
Oh, sure.
When they was controlling the Senate, the same way the Democrats control the Senate right now, you know what they did?
Walked out. Wouldn't vote.
They canceled the filibuster.
Oh, they did?
They got rid of the filibuster so that they wouldn't need, so that nobody could block. Gotcha. So you'll start hearing people say, yo, just get rid of the filibuster. But as we always talk about on this show, the Democrats are nerds and rule followers. And so getting rid of the filibuster is like, you know, you're breaking rules and, you know, they want to try to be bipartisan. They want to bring a group together. You know, that's why there's audio of Biden yesterday saying, stopping short of saying he would get rid of the filibuster because he wants to be the bring together guy. Remember that. He wants to be the bipartisan guy. The problem is you're trying to come together with people who are bullies.
They're trying to literally get rid of voting rights. They're Biden
state called by state.
It's an attack. The actual language they said, Biden portrays a right to vote as under siege. Have you no shame, he asked the GOP. They're trying to stop black people from voting.
Well, and so the point I'm trying to make is the Republicans have no shame. So when you're dealing with someone who is a bully and a rule breaker, and they're trying to take something from you, what do? You punch them in the mother effing face. That's all they understand.
Unfortunately, I think you're right. Oh, the Democrats are so soft in these situations. And we're going to give away our democracy? Being polite?
So they had a bunch in Texas, I guess it's real bad. A bunch of Democrats literally left the state. Walked out. were not participating and flew to Washington, D.C., yeah. the governor of Texas is like, yo, when they get back, I'm locking them up. And I'm kicking them out of their position. But he can't even he can't do either,
yeah,
by the
way.
He's just talking tough. But anyway, I just wanted to put that out there for everybody listening who may be hearing about this stuff and going, what are you talking about? Filibuster, what does that actually mean? Get rid of it, et cetera, et cetera. Right. I just want you guys to know that if you hear Republicans talking about Democrats or not being bipartisan, it's because they're trying to be bipartisan. The Republicans aren't willing to play ball. They're bullies. We know that. And the nerdy Democrats won't fight back. You know, we need Revenge of the Nerds. Where's Booger when you need him? You know what I'm saying?
Get you right.
Where's Booger?
Where's Booger when you need him? Straighten this out. Let's get the flashing lights.
Laura Styles got the 411 on the flashing lights. Lights.
I know you're ready for the flashing lights. And Laura Styles gonna put us on.
So if you're a DJ out there, this is exciting news.
All right, I'm listening.
Triller is in search of their first ever resident DJ who will be handling massive events like Triller Live versus Triller Fight Club and more.
Mm.
And with the opportunity comes a salary of $1 million annually.
Okay, $1
million. Yes, $1 million.
That's a lot of money.
That's crazy.
So they're looking for somebody who is super talented, who has a big personality, has
big
technical
name, right?
skills, can choose records. You
that
know what I mean?
That sounds like Cass one to me.
Selector.
Wow.
Yo, Cass, you applying for this position?
What do I have to do?
So it's going to be a contest where people are going to have to submit 5 minute, like a 5 minute demo. And then the 16 finalists will be chosen on August 8th. And they're going to compete against each other on September 10th on Triller Verse.
Oh, you got to compete? Oh, so, Cass, you got to battle.
Yes.
Oh, this is a thing.
So you're going to end up, they're going to end up battling. But
I don't think Cass has it in him anymore. I think he's too established.
They're saying we're looking for a performer at heart, someone with big personality, incredible personal flair, technical skills to match.
I don't think I have enough vacation days to do this.
Well, if they're paying $1 million, we might just have to. You might just have to call in every now and then, my Jay. For
fact.
$1 million, you might
That's
just have to be
fact.
Like, listen, guys.
Yeah, I think, and by
it's
the way,
been real.
No, I mean like to do the whole thing, the competition is what I'm talking about. Right. It's gonna take a while. I might have to take a vacation from here.
Take a sabbatical. Has anybody tried to take a Hot 97 sabbatical?
I don't even think anybody that works here knows what that means.
Right.
What does that mean?
But you can't do that here.
Sabbatical?
Yeah.
I mean, can't you by law take some sort of long leave or something and they can't fire you?
Yeah, nah. You be nah
for no reason.
Not here.
not to go audition for another job. I don't think that's how it works.
That's your flashing light show. The time is 8:05. High of 88 degrees. Alternate side parking.
Yo, DJ Wala will be up here so fast.
Yo, he's outside right now.
Waiting.
He's outside
yo,
right now.
Yo, E Styles will be like, yo, I got a new record I just put out. Let me get on that Ebro Laura Rosenberg real quick.
Free hookah.
You know what I mean?
Free hookah for everybody.
WQHT and WQHT HD1 New York. Ebro in the morning with Laura Styles and Rosenberg.
Hot 97.
Cause in this moment I just feel so alive.
Sing it, Rosenberg.
Alive.
Sing it.
Alive.
Ebro Laura Rosenberg.
I can have this moment for life. For life. This is my moment. I just feel so alive. Alive. Alive.
It's supposed to feel very warm today, high of 88, real feels in the 90s. There's a chance of rain. They've been saying this rain is going to happen for a couple of days. I haven't seen anything.
You have to really look at your apps because they always have the raindrops during the summer. But when you look at the percentage likelihood, it's not very high.
That's right.
Right.
So it's just out there, but nothing's happening.
Let's see. Today they've switched to like sun with some clouds.
See? It's partly cloudy. How do you like that?
It is. And then tomorrow, some more sun and Friday, sun. There's some rain on Saturday, but it's a little bit. And there's some rain on Sunday, which is a lot of bit. T-Bro Laura Rosenberg, good morning. Laura.
Good morning.
You were showing us video of somebody's baby learning how to swim.
It was Dame Dash.
Got it.
Yes, because my I've been trying to get my man to sign up for swimming classes. You know, I've spoken to you about it.
Yep.
I don't know if it's too young. Kenza, my baby Kenza, is just turned 8 months.
That's when we started around that with Issa.
Yeah, but I'm terrified of those videos, and I'm sure a lot of people have seen them when, you know, you see people just toss them into the pool and
wait for the baby to flip over.
Figure it out. It gives me a heart attack. So I admit, I said, listen, I want to do this, but you have to take her because I don't have the heart.
Mm.
Like, I know that I will be sitting there freaking out. I might jump in. So he said,
that would be
the radio gold.
The video viral gold. The video of Laura in full clothes wearing some black Nirvana t-shirt jumping headfirst into the water as the baby's fine.
Right, right. So my boyfriend shows me this video on Dame Dash's Instagram of his son learning how to swim. And I showed it to you guys. I'm like, what are your thoughts? Yeah. Because my man at first was like, of course, I'll take her. I'm good. And then he's like, you know what? She can wait till she's like 3.
Now, look, if you have a swimming pool at your house, it's good to get your kids ready to know how to save their own lives just in case they fall in the
pool.
Yeah,
that's different.
That's
a good point.
Super different. But Laura, do you think you're an overreactive parent? Like, meaning, has Kenza got like a mosquito bite or anything yet? Has she got scraped up? Has she fall, bumped her head? Anything yet where you completely lost it?
Yes, the first time she fell off the bed. First time she fell off the bed,
how
I was like,
how many times has she fell now?
Yeah, I know. How many times were there?
And then yesterday, she has like this little like seat thing that she plays in and eats, right? But it's not attached to anything. I kind of just plop it on the couch and I sit there with her. Yesterday, she tried to get out of it and flipped the whole thing over and fell on her face on the couch, though, on the actual couch. Okay. And she got like a little rug burn situation on her eye. And I was like, at first I was like, we're good. I flipped her and she looked at me like, and I was like, everything's good. We're good.
Oh, so you handled it good. That's not too bad.
But listen, the little red spot kept getting brighter. And I was like, oh my God, is this going to be forever? Is she going to be scarred for life? Is she going to have this?
From the couch?
From this burn? Is it going to get it? But you know what I mean?
Right. Is this permanent?
Well, the reason I asked, there was a convo last week going on. Cardi B was on Instagram. I think Culture got a mosquito bite. Cardi B was acting like she got attacked by a pit bull.
Feels like it. Because they're so little and you're scared.
Hold on. Is Culture that little?
She's 3.
For a mosquito bite? That's not that little.
But fam, me, I'm very allergic to mosquito bites. They swell up and it looks wild.
Did that happen
wild.
In this case?
No, not according to what I saw on the internet.
Oh.
It was just a mosquito bite. 800-223-9797. Are you an overreactive parent or were your parents overreactive? Because I don't feel like I got any of this attention. I don't care. I don't feel like anybody worried if I got hit by a car or anything.
Right, yeah.
I would come in the house bleeding, scraped up.
Yep.
Yeah.
My mom would pour some peroxide on it and send me back out to play.
Yeah, that was it.
My dad was so foul. I remember one time I was riding my bike and I flipped over and he was sitting there like having a snack, and he's like, come over here so I can pick you up. Like, wanted me to get up and walk to him.
Laura, were you the first child?
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, damn.
I was like, Dad, you're foul.
Well, what are you saying, Cass? By the second and third child?
I've seen that. By the second and third child, people don't care. They're like, nah, it'll be all right.
Yeah.
It really is true. The things that are so scary the first time around, once you've been through it.
Has it happened with your nieces and nephews when they were younger or something?
My nieces and nephews, I feel like, are still baby, and they're 13 years old. I got into a huge fight with my brother recently because I thought my nephew should be able to be put on the bus to come to New York. We got into a huge fight about it.
13?
We were screaming in front of a house full of people about it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was like, he's fine. He's 13 years old. Well, no one's going to bother him. He knows what he can do. He can take care of himself. Now, fortunately, it doesn't really matter because we looked up the bus company. They don't even allow 13-year-olds on the bus. So I guess I was proven wrong in this regard. But I was just like, why? When I was 9, Mom and Dad were putting me on the plane to go to Boston to visit our relatives. Right. Why can't they? Right.
I was taking the bus.
My nephew's got this.
Yeah, I was on the subway at 9.
I was on the buses, subway. Yeah. I was on trains.
Flying
I was on all type
DR
of things.
7, 8, 9.
And everyone would be like, but it's different now. Is it? Is it really different now in that regard?
It was more dangerous then.
Yeah. It was more dangerous then.
There's more surveillance now. There's cameras everywhere.
Yeah. Shani, have you freaked out with your sons? You have to with any of your kids.
I mean, with my daughter, with the firstborn, you always kind of overreact. So everything she did, I was just like, oh, man, I think like something's going to happen. Especially when she was learning how to ride a bike. I did not want her to fall. I was yelling, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Now my sons, I'm like, yo, you good.
Just jump on the bike, man.
When I taught Issa how to ride a bike, we had a talk. I said, now listen, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. She hasn't fell yet. We just had a conversation the other day. I was like, yo, you haven't fell on your bike yet. You know it's coming, right?
Gotta stay ready.
When did she learn?
She learned. Issa been riding a bike now. I think it was in the beginning of the pandemic.
And she's never fell?
She hasn't fell yet.
She's due. Had an accident where you were like a little freaked out. Or her mom was like, oh my God.
The first time Issa fell and scraped herself up, she was like right after her first birthday, or maybe right before. It might have been right before her first birthday. Because remember, she had a scratch on her forehead. And I was walking her into the playground, and I let her walk up a little hill by herself, and she fell and scraped her forehead on the ground.
Mm.
I took her back in the house. She was bleeding. I was like, all right, everybody, she bleeding. She bleeding. She'll be all right. But I kept her outside, and we played while she was bleeding because I didn't want her to feel like, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right. The world was over.
You know, I wiped it off. We kept it moving. It wasn't that bad.
Mm. That's a good approach.
But, yeah, I don't think we've had any overreact. When I took her to learn how to swim,
mm-hmm.
that was the first time that my heart really sank.
And how old was she?
Because she was about 7-8 months, probably.
Oh, gosh.
And then, you know, they're pulling her by the front of her hands through the water, and it's all cute. And then the instructor will blow air into their face to make them, like, take in a hold their breath. And then pulls them underwater.
Dunk.
Yeah, see, chill.
And you're like, hey, chill, oh, oh, and then they come back up real quick. You're like, okay, okay. Right. I didn't know y'all was going to do that, though.
See, now, in Laura's video. I didn't know y'all was going to do that, though. When they dropped Dame Dash's baby under the water head first.
You making it sound, the baby was not dropped head first.
Yeah, because it was dropped about a foot over the water.
But the instructor is in the pool
with
the baby.
Right. And then you drop the baby head first in the water, and you're waiting for the baby to roll over so it can float on its back.
It's very uncomfortable to watch.
It was too long.
It was about eight seconds.
Okay, turn over. Turn over.
Did the baby figured it out?
Yeah.
After like 20 seconds.
And the baby's okay.
Yes.
I wouldn't have lasted.
Did
bro.
I die in between? Yes.
The baby is fine.
Yo, after the second turnover, my mom's like, turn over. Come on, turn over.
Okay.
I'm in the water, bro.
Yeah.
I get it.
Overreacting parenting. We're going to get to Rosenberg. He's a parent to a dog, and he overreacts over the dog.
Every day.
Missy, you're an overreactive parent?
I sure am.
What was the last thing you overreacted on?
Let me see. I don't react to anything. My kids falling. Somebody, if they get hit with a toy, buy a toy. I've even took my, I have a 15-year-old as well, and even when he was little, I took him to the hospital because a toy train fell on his foot.
A toy train fell on his foot and you took him to the hospital?
Wow. Yes. It was a wooden toy train.
Yo, fam.
And now I have two other ones that are a lot littler and I'm still the same way.
Oh, wow. My God. Thank you, Missy.
That's going to be Laura. She runs to the doctor for everything now, so.
A train on the foot? That's not that
deep.
I
don't know. I think I've been okay with Kenza. Right? Okay. See, Ibra, you've seen me now with my kid. I'm okay.
I think you're pretty good. I think you're pretty good.
Okay.
He hasn't seen you have anything happen though.
Well, no, I mean she allows my daughter, who's not even seven, to sit there with Kenza, who's on like a, you know, sitting outside. We're outside. Kenza could easily fall over and she trusts Kenza Issa. With Issa.
And they walks away. And they peace Issa
to get a sangria and wow. go hang out with her friends.
Well, I mean, okay. When there's a sangria on the line, risks have to be taken.
But I know Issa and I trust her. So I was like, you guys are good.
There you go.
Issa's great with kids. Let's go to T. T, who's the overreactive parent in your world?
I am definitely the overreactive parent. I have three girls and they're all allergic to mosquitoes.
Oh, see.
And they swell up like Popeye the Cellar Man. And I literally cry. And the oldest is 13 and I still cry when she gets it.
Ugh, but I know.
They're tripping and falling. When they're tripping, I'm over it. I'm over that part. But it's like the mosquitoes because their skin swell up and they're like, I know Laura's pain.
Yes.
Because they swell like literally like they ate spinach and then their arms blew up.
It looks insane, right?
But,
yes,
but
and I'm like, what? This is crazy. When it first happened with the first daughter, I'm like, okay, she's going in a bubble. Literally had her stroller.
Put her in the bubble.
And then put the plastic thing over it. And if you want to see my baby, you had to look through the little window. And I'm not playing because I'm like, look, I can't make another one of you.
Well, now, so Laura, you don't know if Ken's is allergic yet.
I don't. I've been doing tests. Like, the vet was like, you know, have you seen if she's allergic to peanut butter, peanuts, right?
And that's a big one.
This is what
Did
he said
say
to
the
me.
Vet?
I mean, the vet. I'm sorry, the pediatrician. Sorry, I've been a dog mom for 13 years. Rosenberg knows.
It's the vet.
So I went to the pediatrician. He's like, you should try it. You should do it sooner than later. I'm like, so how do you do it? He's like, you put a little peanut butter on her cheek, have some Benadryl ready. If she swells up, throws up, just take her to the emergency room.
That doesn't sound fun.
I was like, what?
So you haven't done it yet?
No, I finally did it. Because I was like, we're going to travel. We're going to hop on a plane. And I'd rather be ready than somebody opens a pack of peanuts, God forbid. You know what I mean? And then I'm not prepared. I did it and she was cool.
So she's fine. But we don't know about the mosquitoes yet.
I don't know about the mosquitoes.
So are we going to do an experiment? Maybe leave Kenza in the night grass Central Park with a camera on and see what happens?
No, I'm just going to wait till she gets bit and see what happens.
That's scary.
Scary.
Ebro in the morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Now, Rosenberg, what happened with your dog, man?
I feel Rosenberg, too.
Listen, I'm not going to lie. I admit that I'm crazy. I'm over the top about it. My vet gets more emails from me. I'm actually going to see her today. I want to ask her, do you have any patients who email you as often as I do? I always say the same thing. Subject's always, hey, doc, Bear got into blah, blah, blah. What do you think about this? I've enclosed a picture. I do it all the time. And yesterday I freaked out because Bear's poop was black. And poop should be brown.
Right.
Another good t-shirt, by the way. And
poop should be brown.
And I was like, oh my God. So naturally I did the dumbest. I know everyone's nodding their head. I did the same thing we all do. Get on Google. Why is my dog's poop black?
Right.
Cancer. Toxins. Blood in the digestive tract.
Gosh.
I emailed, hey doc, Bear's poop appears to be black.
Here's a picture.
I didn't send a picture this time. I said, I know we have an appointment tomorrow, but I'm a little worried about this. And she wrote me back and she was like, don't panic. You don't need to come in early. If it continues, bring a stool sample. And then the next time we went outside, his poop was completely back to normal. So I'm guessing he just ate something.
You didn't have to piece off a chunk of poop.
Nope, but I was thinking about it, though. I was almost ziplocking up some poop, but I got to avoid that. But the point is, I relate to panic, okay?
I know.
Panic a little bit.
I've been there, too.
Cast 1, 97 minutes, commercial free. Shout to John. We know you're an overreactive parent. Jose and Mia, we didn't get to your calls. Up next, the gurus are on.
Guru!
Lock in. We're 97 minutes, commercial free right now. Ebro, Laura Rosenberg. It was so cool, man. Like when people were like, you know what? We're going to put out a rap song. Like we're famous and we could just put out great rap.
Why? That shouldn't be cool, though. Like the fact that we have to point that out is such a bummer.
Like that rappers rap? Like
why would a rap artist not put out a rap song? Yo, when I was promoting my album, it was literally like, oh, man, you're putting out like songs of rappers rapping on it, man. That's good for you, man. I swear to God, it was like they felt sorry for me.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, man. Good for you. You're letting having rappers. Man, that's nice. And
that's
I was like, I don't know if you guys have checked the streaming worlds. There are rappers who rap who make a lot of money rapping these days. Actually,
no, it's big. It's popular. Yeah. It's just not as popular as rappers who sound like each other. Let's give T-Pain some space.
Yeah,
to speak on my behalf.
T-Pain needs room to breathe, and we hear you, T-Pain. I want you to know that you are heard on this program.
Heard, appreciated.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Stop. Just f***ing do something else. Just damn it. Do some different music. We have all this that you're doing. We already have it. Lil Uzi Vert is already doing it. Lil Baby is already doing it. Dub Baby is already doing it. It's literally two n***s with Baby in their names that's already doing all the music you want. Do something else. Do something else. That's it. That's all we want. Do something else. Holy s***. Stop sending me this bullshit and then get mad when I don't like it. Jesus damn tap dancing Christ.
That's not a thing.
Do something else.
Yo.
Yo, that sounded, like for a moment he became Ric Flair.
Well, it's also too, a lot of people say music, all the artists are too many artists. I'm not say all because there's definitely artists out here that are popular that don't sound like anyone else. But there's a lot of things that sound the same. And people believe that that's really what propelled podcasts to get so popular. Is because all the music started sounding the same. So people who wanted to have something real and something of substance beyond the music were like, you know what? I'm going to go listen to a podcast.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I'm not going to lie. I mean, when I'm moving around, listening to radio throughout the day in other cities, wherever, I'm not going to lie, middle of the day music, there's not a lot for me. You know, unless you catch a J. Cole record and unless I catch something from one of the really big artists, But a lot of the new artists, they're cool. They just don't sound different. He's exactly right. I'm happy to hear T-Pain. Let T-Pain catch. I've already learned recently how much people hate me for the opinions I've had over the years. So I'll let T-Pain be the guy who tells people what we've been trying to say for a long time.
Let's get to the guru.
Hey, yo, it's time for the guru, Shani Coltrane and Rosenberg. And Laura, you know you are a beautiful queen. Ebro, don't ever play yourself. You're not a guru.
TheGuruLaura at gmail.com. We are here for you. The squad unites to uplift, to cleanse the air. Shani Coltrane with the sage. Rosenberg with breathing exercises. send us your problems. We have your answers. Oosa. Who's in need, Rosenberg?
Oosa. Let's save a life.
Yo, this thing needs a breath mint sponsorship. For real, bro.
Sounds like hate.
Hot breath.
What's up, gurus? First, shout out to Africa.
Shout out to Africa.
Shani, burn the sage.
That's right.
Peter, lead us in breathing and plug your album.
I like this person.
Real Late, available everywhere now. Hip hop. Ebro, get your grizzly on.
What? Huh?
Cast One, put your lighter up.
Oh.
Put your lighters up.
Laura, keep the fellas focused. I have a situation with my 26-year-old son.
Okay.
He lives with his mom in Texas, and I live in Arizona with my wife, along with my mom, that's not too far from us. The problem that I'm having is that my son lacks communication. Mm. We here in Arizona only hear from him 3 to 4 times a year.
Mm. Oh.
Usually holidays. We've always had a good relationship. But the thing is, he's an introvert like his mom. When I was married to his mom, I would always try to push him out of his comfort zone and encourage him to be more outgoing. Since not living in the same city for 5 years now, our relationship has slowly faded. Whenever I call or text, and if my mom calls or texts, he always answers. But if we don't initiate contact, we don't hear anything from him. I've even called him out a few times, say, hey man, check in on us, no matter what it's about. He always apologizes and promises to do better at calling, communicating, but he never does until a holiday. His other grandparents are nosy, so they don't mind calling all the time. They did that when I was married to his mom. So finally, my mom and I have gotten to the point where we have decided not to call or text and see how long it will go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? It's been 6 months, and we still haven't heard from him. Gurus, help me out. Should we keep reaching out to him, or should we just let him be until he finally decides to initiate contact? Sincerely, where's the love for dad?
Where's the love for dad?
But you already know your son's personality. Like, I don't think you don't give up on your kid. Like, you know what I mean? It sounds really like tit for tat. You know he's a weirdo.
Right.
You know he's, you know, antisocial. So you gotta still, you have to love him no matter what.
I think the consistency is with the parent. Man.
Before you guys give the right thing to say, can I just say on behalf of all of those who have a family member in your life, for me, there's one who is on this bullish, this not communicating, this difficult to get a hold of, this, yo man, I'm in town. No reply till you're gone. Oh man, you were here. Yo, I just want to empathize with all the people out there who have a loved one like that in their family. I understand you're an introvert. I understand you're dealing with things. Man, we're all dealing with things. And when you're reaching out to a family member and years are going by while that person's not being involved, it's a bummer, man.
I know,
People miss you and they love you and it's annoying. And it hurts people's feelings.
You're not wrong, but this is a father-son relationship.
Yeah, and that you're 100% right, because there are people, and you, as everybody should take on the responsibility of checking in with their loved ones, period.
How old is your son?
26.
26. And at that point, sometimes you kind of, you're looking for
26,
the lease to be long. You want to break out a little bit and kind of, I don't want to check in on moms and dad when I was 25, 24.
26, 16, 6 years old. Boys are knuckleheads, man. And they're in society, and socially speaking, we are not mature with our emotions. And we don't communicate well. He's 26.
Yeah, man, you don't give up on him. You don't stop reaching out.
Yo, like, that's your kid. Yeah. You're supposed to, as a parent, honestly, you're supposed to be spending your time figuring out what motivates him, where he's at in his life, how you can support him. Support, he might just want you to text him every now and then and just say, I love you.
But he does do that.
And that's it.
And
yeah, but the thing is, that's not enough for the father.
That's okay.
Yeah,
it's father, not your life. It's his life. Yeah, no,
that's not fair. This is a relationship. It's not just, hey, the son is growing, so he gets to blow you off for 6 months.
No,
at
not
a time.
blow you off, but you just got to be patient with him. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that.
You know, he's learning. Yeah. He doesn't. And kids in their 20s, girls are much better at this about valuing relationships. Boys just ain't, man. It's not common. I wasn't checking on my mother every day in my
20s. What was the longest you went?
Weeks. For sure.
We just went. Me too. This guy just said 6 months.
I've gone over
with his dad.
Month,
does he check
months.
On his? Does the 26-year-old check with his mom?
I think he lives near his mom.
So
he probably sees his mom.
And there might be more to this story.
Yeah, but look,
Dad,
but
don't take it personal.
Right.
Don't take it personal. And the quote says, be the energy that you want to receive, right? So show him through your actions. Just stay consistent. Check on him. Texts don't hurt. And you said every time he calls only on the holidays. And when you check him on the communication, he apologizes.
Right.
So it's not like it's malicious. Don't take it that personal. Just keep being the consistent. Keep showing him how it's done, and eventually he'll understand. Right now, he wants freedom. He's 26.
I think that's the answer. I would like to also, though, again, in my attempt to be empathetic to the dad here, I understand that when you hear "don't take it personal," it's literally impossible.
That's right. Yeah,
like I just went over this with a family member. We have a family member who does this to everyone, and when you're the one who it's happening to, everyone's like, man, don't take it personal. That's how he is. And then it flips around. All of a sudden becomes you. You're like, yo, man, I hate this guy.
He is a jerk.
And everyone's like, hey, man, don't take it personal. So Shawnee's right, though. And Laura, you guys are all right. You got to stay on it. You're the dad. Keep showing him the way.
Keep reminding him that you love him, that you want him to communicate.
But it is
more
annoying. I do feel you, though. Yeah, it is annoying.
But don't give up on him. That's your son.
And yeah, text.
And as, by the way, giving up on him is not going to help. If you're sad about not hearing from your kid and then you give up on him,
you don't hear from him at all.
It's even worse.
Yes, don't give up. So say the gurus.
Ebro in the morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Strength, no weakness.
That gong is still popping.
Glad I thought of it.
Oh God,
that's not true. Speaking of popping, what's it that goes?
What's not
Bruno?
True? The gong. It's me all day.
Was
that Ebro?
Yeah. I don't think. Yo, Shawnee, you made that up, and you just let him take that from you.
I don't even remember. It wasn't Ebro, though.
Absolutely was me.
Was it?
I was like, because I remember we would play Jungle Boogie right after it. And I was like, don't that sound like the gong from Jungle Boogie?
I think he's just making this up.
It was when Laura was
It's
gone.
Hard to tell because, you know, he never Laura lets a lie get in the way of a good story. So
Laura
we
wasn't
don't.
Even here.
Laura wasn't here. That's true.
Cass One knows, but he, you know.
I mean, I don't remember. I have a terrible memory. I think it was me, actually. That's my idea.
See? I believe that. I actually believe that.
I don't know. Sorry, Sean.
Right,
it was
so
right.
Is Silk Sonic Ghostface.
Come on, pick up.
Classic.
Pick up, baby. Come on.
Only we have this record.
Hello? The phone ringing.
La la la's. Y'all don't be mad at me on Twitter, man. Everybody's going to streaming services looking for that Ghostface. Soul Sonic.
Sorry, y'all. Not yet.
You think it'll happen? You think that'll become like an official remix?
I mean, maybe the label's hearing what we're doing today and is like, yo, it does. We should have Ghostface on the Silk Sonic joint.
Nice.
Why wouldn't they? Because to me, that's a song. We were already starting to play the dancehall version, right? Mm-hmm. It's a song that's so gigantic, and putting cool remixes out gives it new legs.
Right.
I think the Ghostface, I love what Cass did earlier. Hit the Ghostface verse, played the Bruno verse, and then hit the dancehall version.
You saw that, right?
I saw that.
I'm saying
that was hard.
That was fire.
Cass One, you should be that Triller DJ, bro.
$1 million man.
Give you that million. Let's go, flashing lights, Laura Staff.
Laura Styles got the 411 on the flash lights. Lights.
I know you're ready for the flashing lights. And Laura Styles gonna put us on.
I don't know if you guys saw, but the baby was getting dragged for turning down teens who try to charge him $200 for candy.
That was a few days ago. They didn't try to charge him
No, they did. They tried to come up on him.
They tried to raise the price on him, but he was going to give them money anyway, but then didn't give them the money because they tried to be slick.
I think they're trying to sell him the whole box for $200.
Exactly. If you didn't see it, they're outside his bus. He jumps out. He's like, y'all selling candy? How much you want for the whole box? The kid looks at his box, looks at the baby, and he's like, $200. He said, $200? How much are you charging for each one? He was like, $2? He was like, how many do you have in there? He counted. He was like, 34. He was like, that's $68. Why are you trying to charge me $200? He's like, you know what? I'll take one. Gives him $2.
What?
And he said, I was about to buy the whole box, but you tried to get over on me.
That's right.
I loved it. I thought it was hilarious.
Some people are upset, but you know, that's the wussification of America.
So he's obligated, because he runs into anyone, he's obligated to give them a ton of money, even if he was going to do that and the person tries to get over on him.
Listen, we live in a world where there's those of us who learn tough lessons and grew from them and became who we are today versus people who learn tough lessons and crumbled because of them. That's the world we live in. It's divide. It's divide. We're at each other's throats. Because people want to protect young people from learning these lessons. Now, these kids could do one or two things with this lesson, right? Because now these kids, their faces are everywhere. People, they can grow from it and become and turn this into more of a business. Or they can just fold up like a beach chair, like everyone else out here in the world, and be complaining and crying that somebody who had money didn't just gift them money.
And not only that, should have gifted them while they were trying to get over on him.
Right.
Like, he knew. He sat down and was like, damn, they really tried to come up on me like that? He's like, I used to sell candy myself. You think I don't know? I thought it was a good lesson, but you're right. I mean, listen, this is the reason my dad did the U-turn on the Bell Parkway when I was trying to go get a Nintendo.
That's right.
When he found out how much the games cost. He went $30 for games.
I'm not doing that.
He's like, I'm
going to have to buy you games every month? Nope, U-turn.
Not doing it.
You peep game.
Cruel.
No, that's not cruel. That's what should happen.
I learned. I don't waste a lot of money on games.
Is that why you got your job at, what's that place, Outback, to buy your games?
I was only seven at the time that this happened.
Okay. Also, the Emmy nominations are in. The 73rd Annual Emmy Awards will be hosted by Cedric the Entertainer. The Crown, Mandalorian led the way with 24 nominations each, with WandaVision, Ted Lasso, and Handmaid's Tale also came in strong.
I'm glad Wanda Sykes got nominated for WandaVision.
Yeah, that's fine.
Shani, you see that?
Which, Mandalorian?
No.
WandaVision with Wanda Sykes.
Oh, nah. Y'all tried to get me in the beginning. I thought it was Wanda Sykes.
She got nominated for that.
Nah, that's disrespect, man. I thought I was going to see a black comedian. I saw a white superhero. This is horrible. You know what I'm saying?
The first a trans person was nominated, MJ Rodriguez for Pose, so that was a big deal.
Ooh.
By the way, I love Pose, and yeah, Billy Porter was also nominated, so I really, really, really hope that show takes something home, just at least one.
Now, Pose has won before or no? The show itself, I don't know if the individuals.
Sure. I'm not sure.
So I feel like it gets nominated a lot.
But it's only been a couple years, right?
Yeah, it's only been, I think this is the second seat. No,
let's be honest, by the way, but there are a lot of Emmy categories, and there are a lot of nominations.
Yeah, when I was going through the categories, I was like, all right.
I mean, listen, the big shows get 19 nominations. It's wild. By the way, but Laura, you're not going to go through this whole segment without mentioning This Is Us. I mean, how we do?
Yeah, This Is Us was, I mean, that's another one that's always nominated heavy.
And Sterling K. Brown just has a permanent nomination.
Right. Always nominated.
Every time. Was anyone else from the show nominated or just him?
No, other people were nominated too.
Damn right. Yeah, I still haven't watched This Is Us.
Is this still on?
You're not going to. One more season.
It feels like my children are.
I respect it now. I respect it now. I think it went on for 8 seasons, right? 9?
It's going to end on, I think, 6 or 7.
6 or 7? I respect it now. I might watch it now.
Because there's an ending.
Because
they know how to shut it down.
You'll cry.
Ebro's not ready for that show. I'll be honest. You've done a lot of growth over the years. You're not ready for this. You're not ready.
Do you think that he would actually cry like us every episode? Or do you think he's gonna be like, this
Bro,
is.
It's crying porn. It's meant. It's going to work. You cry. It does what it does.
Ricardo would walk in the room and he would look at me and be like, again? How could you cry every episode? I'm like, you just don't understand.
That's just what they do.
Beautiful.
That's what you do to cry together.
Jack.
Look, I never watched This Is Us.
That's Rosenberg and I.
Yo, Shani, I think you have the This Is Us music. That music will trigger someone to hear tears just when they hear it.
Instant tears.
Because they have the soundtrack that they use where it's like 3 different songs depending on the mood of what's happening. Whichever emotion they're trying to convey, they bust out that instrumental and you'll be like, oh.
You guys want to make people cry in the morning on their way to work? That's what's happening?
Absolutely.
I'm trying to touch their heart.
It's important to be in touch with your feelings, Gaswin.
Man, This Is Us is great.
I don't
think
we have the theme for This Is Us.
I was wrong?
It's okay. So good.
You'll enjoy it. Don't worry. Congrats. You do have something there.
When it comes to theme songs.
Oh.
Anyway, the Emmy Awards will air on Sunday, September 19th.
It's that real.
It's Without Us. That's what it's called. And this is the original This Is Us. Shouts to Johnny Mathis and Denise Williams on the tracks. It's called Without Us, the theme to Family Ties.
We've been together for a million years.
And I bet we'll be together for a million more.
It's like I started breathing on the night we kissed.
Well, I ain't Rosenberg.
And I can't remember what I ever did before.
Everybody sing along.
What would we do, baby, without us? What would we do, baby, without us?
And there ain't no nothing we can't love each other through.
Ooh, what would we do, baby, without us?
Wait for
Wait
it.
Wait for it.
Sha-la-la-la. All right, man, I'm going to cry. Let's go to break. I can't take it.
That's your Flash and Lights report. Right now, before I get out of here, I have a pair of Summer Jam tickets for caller number 9.
Summer Jam!
800-223-9797. Get on the phone right now. Caller number 9. These are for you.
Rockin' with Ebro in the morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
You already know.
Hot 97.